Well, friends, church, on Thursday, I had a pretty big milestone. I turned 40. Wow. Turned 40. My wife, being a truly amazing woman, put in place for me all week all sorts of special Zoom calls, including an in-person Zoom call. It's called They Came Over. It's a very special one. But we enjoyed dinners with long-time friends, including some friends from Fresno, California. Like, that's pretty amazing. That's awesome. The Lord is good, and it's been a wonderful week. At 40 years and nearly 8 years of marriage, I have many things to be thankful for. Particularly, I'm so thankful to be with you as I start a new decade of my life. And within 40 years of my life, God has done some pretty miraculous things for me. And I am truly a new creation because of the work God has done in me. He is continuing to make me into the man who stands before you today. But friends, he's not finished, in case you're wondering, because you're like, hey, want me to point out some things for you? He's not finished. Keep praying. Just keep praying. Keep praying. But I know that the Lord will complete the work that he starts. He is not finished. And so as I stand with you here, I am thankful that one day, as the Lord completes that work, and as I stand before him, I will see how I am truly washed and cleaned and white as snow, and that I will see perfectly God's way that he has made me and loves me, and I am in him, truly a beautiful new creation, just like all those who are in Christ. Well, birthday, of course, is our times to break out the stories about a person, whomever you're celebrating. And my parents, of course, you know, and brothers, you know, they, oh, I remember when, you know, there were some good ones there, some crazy, funny stories. Sorry, I won't be sharing any of those stories today. Another time, possibly, I'll definitely make a fool of myself. Hopefully not in front of you, but about what I've done. But these silly, crazy moments. But no, sorry, I won't be sharing those. But I hope that as we walk through this, I want to tell you the one story that really isn't about me and being silly and foolish, but about God's amazing work. This story takes place 8 years ago or so in Pittsburgh. Imagine, here we are in Pittsburgh, if for those who have been there. So what are you looking for? Asked Grandma. We were gathered around eating dinner at Lisa's parents with her sister Laura and Grandma and Pa. Buck and Shirley were their names. Lisa's grandparents were a spunky pair who loved Jesus. Lisa and I were newly married, and, well, quite frankly, we were living on love. We had Target gift cards and a queen bed and a host of wonderful presents, but from our wedding, but our furniture was severely lacking. We did have a few things that we had snagged out of the barn, a place where previous seminary students had placed their used furniture. That they didn't need anymore. To be honest, it was an old garage with no heating, and by any observer would have said is a cave of mystery and wonder. We didn't care. Like I said, we were living on love and found treasures, shall I say. Lisa was working as a prayer professional, and I was chugging through seminary. She has said again and again that she married me for my money. Oh boy, yep. And you can imagine we were raking it in. But our hearts longed to do exactly what both of our parents had modeled for us time and time again. They had opened up their table to family and friends, even strangers they had met at church or other places. Both our moms cooked truly like they were feeding the army. So trust me, there is plenty of food to be had. But even if you have food, you need somewhere to sit and a table to put it on. The reality is a card table was just not enough. We need a table, we told Shirley and Buck that evening. you see one that can fit and expand for a couple of people, let us know. We'll be interested. And of course, there were multiple stores that we could have bought them from, or a thrift store. But like I said, we were bringing in the dough. All these options were, quite frankly, nice, but out of the question. So we prayed that night. Lord, you know we need a table. And this was something we did every night before we went to bed. It was a pastime for Buck and Shirley, Lisa's grandparents. Buck loves to drive. It's one of his favorite things to do, even now. To drive around and check out the neighborhood. Who put in new shrubs and who cut their grass and who got a new car. You know, these sort of things. And sure enough, as they're driving around and taking different routes home, because to make it creative, all of a sudden, Shirley goes, stop, Bucky, stop. And sure enough, on the side of the table, read a sign, $100 with a table. And after figuring out how to call Lisa's parent, call Lisa's mom and dad, and then trying to get a hold of us, Dory now began to describe the table and chairs to us. It was an Ethan Allen table with four regular chairs and two chairs with arms in excellent condition. Some smoke smells here and there, but nothing that couldn't be removed or quickly replaced the fabric. After a good wash and replacing the seat cushions and fabric, the thing looked brand new. We later found out one chair, $600. We couldn't believe it. $100. So we took it home and cleaned it up. It was gorgeous and included two leaves. And it could seat 12 people. It was amazing. It was incredible. From Ambridge to where I went to seminary, to Fresno, California, to even here in Alexandria, we have been so thankful that the Lord had built in us this culture of inviting people over. And we kind of flippantly prayed, Lord, we need a table. And here, Grandma and Pa, Buck and Shirley, found our $100 Ethan Allen table that we still have in our place. And I know that these folks here, because they know that story, because we've told it time and time and time again. But you see, friends, we're not the hero of the story. In fact, even the creative driving of Buck and Shirley is not the hero of the story. It's God. God is the hero of that story. I even called Buck just the other day as I was practicing this. I said, Buck, tell me the story. And it was very similar. He was like, to be honest, I don't know why we took that alley. Again, God's goodness, amazing goodness. And I'll tell you, if you come over and you ask us of the table, we're going to tell you that story yet again, to hear a story of God's goodness and faithfulness. But why retell that story? Why do we get excited about telling folks about our table? Because no matter who it is, no matter where they come from or what they believe or where they are, they get to hear about God who answered our prayers for a table. A table we're blessed with so that we could be a blessing to others with. But you see, in the retelling, it does something else. It reminds Lisa and I of the way God has blessed us and allows us to point again to Him. Both the hearer and the teller and the listener, they get a chance to be pointed towards God. You see, this is the beauty of the instruction given in our scripture here this morning. Starting in verse 7, it says, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads and write them on your doorposts and on your gates. You see, ignorance of God's stories is not an option here. The word impress in the Hebrew there is more of a, brings up connotations of of being repeated or sharpening again and again. Of course, you would never use a blade in battle and then be like, oh, I'm sure it's fine. No, it needs sharpened again and again. This is the word impress in the Hebrew word there. This is not a once action and done. And as any teacher here will tell you, that for most children, once is never enough to understand a concept. One of my favorite books is The Chronicles of Narnia. I read it through every couple of years, and each time it helps me understand my faith and to an even greater extent. But you see, I remember my dad retelling them to us and reading us those stories when I was a kid. I loved to hear those stories. Yet now, and I'm sure for some of you, when you see and read those books, they nourish you in a new and amazing way. And the same is true for our Bible stories. Each retelling, the listener, as they get older, grows in understanding and their faith and their understanding and their faith, because each time the listener, as they hear it, they're different. Your children do not stay stagnant. We don't stay stagnant even as adults. We grow and are changed. We are different each time we hear the story. And the story becomes richer and it strengthens our faith even more each time we hear the story. But the listener, the child in this passage, is not the primary person to whom these stories are to be told. They are the first beneficiary. The second, there's more. I'd say there's four, actually. The second, I kind of alluded to earlier when I told you the story of our table. Every time we retell the story, our faith grows little by little, because we're never the same when we tell the story, as the listener is different every time they hear the story. We all know what it feels like to have rough days. We all know what it feels like to doubt God's goodness, God's faithfulness, God's hand upon our lives. There are seasons when we're in the desert of our lives. Everything we see around us seems dry, empty, and desolate. And then we have a person come and visit, and they're like, wow, what a beautiful table. Is it an heirloom? And there are days when I pause. I don't want to tell the story. I don't want to tell the story. I don't want to remember God's goodness or faithfulness, because I don't feel like it. I don't feel like having faith in that moment. Sure, you know, we could easily tell that story. Yeah, you know, Lisa's grandparents fell on the side of the road and it was cheap. I mean, that would be the story, right? That's kind of the quick version. But there are days when we are asked of that story. And the reality is, to say that story in that brief moment isn't faithful. It is not faithful. Where's the faith? Where's the story? It sounds more like happenstance than really anything else. You see, when we tell the story, we have to tell it faithfully so that God, not us, is glorified, or anybody else is glorified. Remembering our sermon from Pastor Brunson just last week, we have to fight for our faith even though our thoughts and emotions are telling us think quite the opposite or believe the opposite. We have to testify. I have to testify to you that every time we have folks over and every time they ask about the table, whether I want to or not, my faith grows. It is renewed. Because it doesn't point to me. It points to God. But there's a third audience that is blessed, I think, in retelling these stories. The community. Let me give you an example of what that looks like. As you know, I'm new here, and occasionally I make comments like, wow, when did Faith Church pave their parking lot? It looks sort of new. And then that's where it gets fun. because I begin to hear a story from Drew and his arm tattoos, and he talks about how much of a mess the church parking lot was, and there was mud everywhere. And then Emily comes over, and she's like, ugh, but then the children had to be inside, and it was hard. And then, like, T then comes around, he's got pictures, and he's like, look at this, and he starts talking about pressure and why it had to be like that. And then someone talks about, like, fighting with the, you know, these people, and then they did this, and then, you know, they start wrestling, and then they're like, the hillside got graded, and we got all this money, and then suddenly it ends with, and then we got a new window. And you're like, wow, okay. And all throughout it, we hear, all throughout as we listen, it points to God's goodness. You know, the conversation begins with just one person, but as the community hears the story, they chime in. The circle gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and they begin to correct each other on the story. And what could have been a 5-minute story about a parking lot that ends with, a quick story, it ends with a giant window and being replaced and how God provided the money to fix it. And all throughout, clearly, as you listen carefully, God's hand of providence is upon that story. As a story, we may have started, again, with one person, but it ends with the community. And so by the end, not only am I encouraged, as the listener, not only is the teller encouraged, but truly the whole community is encouraged because they remember the story of God's faithfulness. As the scripture says, when you are at home, when you walk along the road, when you sleep and when you wake up, the reminders of God's story are to be everywhere so that they influence how you live and move and have your being. They are tied on your head and wrapped on your wrist. Now, you may think, well, that's kind of weird to have like a scroll, you know, on your head. Be like, hey, you got something there. But no, most commentators think this was actually metaphorical, or at least this audience for this time and place understood it metaphorically, meaning that these stories shape everything. That it's actually not just the things that those stories are so true that in every thought, we're thinking those thoughts through the story. Not that story is also that everything we do with our hands, that it's written on our hands, so everything we make, everything we build, the story is reminding us. We're building through the story. It's kind of amazing. But the last audience, the fourth audience, I would say, who hears, though is, again, not directly mentioned in this passage, is God Himself. Throughout our scriptures, we know that God is present. That's one of His divine attributes. He's omnipresent. Is not God blessed when we tell the stories of His scripture or tell testimonies of our lives that bring God glory? The last audience is actually God Himself. God is blessed. God is glorified in the retelling of these stories. Because when God is the primary mover of our stories, when God is the primary mover in our stories, when we get to the difficult points of our story and say, then God, not chance, not good luck, not circumstances, but God showed up and saved the day. God is glorified. Church, our world is filled to the brim of stories, of happenstance, of human heroes who pointed themselves as, well, it just worked out wonderfully. They don't point to God. You know, here's one example of how that's kind of, even in our lives, it just kind of came out of us naturally because we've realized that God has moved in my wife and I to be story-formed people. And so as we think about God or try to in our day in and day out, we were finishing our guest bathroom and our remodel. We've been redoing some things. And to be honest, we were really discouraged. You see, the most challenging part of the whole thing was a small 18-inch piece of our backsplash. It went along the left side. You see, the manufacturers only make the back backsplash, and there's no option to get a left-hand side. We called, we asked, we went to Home Depot, and we could not find anything to match. And so we were like, all right, well, I don't know, we'll just try somewhere else. But then as we were leaving, and there's what, 20, 30 aisles in Home Depot as you exit the register, right? Something caught my eye. And there were door stops, like places that you put door thresholds on the floor that you put down. I'm like, that color, that looks really familiar. And so we looked at it. We're like, I mean, it's clearly a door threshold. But we're like, wow, that's close. I mean, I think so. The lighting and all. So we took it home, laid it down, and it was perfect. It was perfect. Like, we're like, wow, it fit. It worked. It's good. And we're just like, praise God. Like there are 20 aisles. But yet, God, for some reason, we walked on the right one, and something caught my eye, and there it was, a door threshold that has now when you go into our bathroom, you'll see it. You're like, oh, that's, So, but clearly, it's not happenstance. It's not accidental. But God is the hero of our story. You see, God moved, I believe, was glorified in that. That he is to be praised for finding us just the right thing that we needed to complete our bathroom. So parents, church, all who are listening, even those online, our students, now speaking as your pastor of children, youth, and family, our students need to hear your stories of God's faithfulness for your life. Not just for the miracles, not the big things, but in everyday moments. Like backsplashes and sinks and tables and so that when you walk along the road and when you sit down and when you get up, when you're driving in the car, anytime you're with kids, tell them the stories that point to God's faithfulness. Church, long, long are the days when the reasoning of because I said so and well, that's just what we do are enough to convince our children to go back to church when they have choice. It's not enough just to say, well, that's just who we are. No, there's something unique. There's something different about a story that they can hang on to and grasp onto, when they can hear the daily, the regular faith of our word and in people's testimonies. You see, we need to have answers of story when our children ask, what's the meaning of why we do these things? Or what's the purpose of doing these things? Or why do we go to church? Or why do we go to worship God? That you might have an answer for them that comes in the form of a story about an incredible God. And what's the blessing God promises to these children who have learned the stories? Well, we read it here. Why, that they may prosper, as our text says, that they may be children of God. May they be all the attributes of what it means to be God's people in our nation and, I hope, around the world. A blessing to the nations, a people who deal justly in their work, a people who are full of the fruit of the Spirit, a people who love everyone and speak kindly to those who they meet, a people of hope in a world that is full of hopelessness. Church, let's be a place that passes on God's story. A people who tell of God's goodness so that generations, for generations, they may love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, and with all their strength. Let's pray.